But today, that's not what we are talking about. We are not talking about lighting 101 today. We are really, really getting into that intermediate and advanced way of thinking about light. All right? So this is going to be a little bit more than maybe what you have heard so far, or maybe you're already doing this, so that's a yay, yay. This is your host, Dyutima, but you can call me DJ. And I love to inspire food photographers to dream. I spent 15 years as an architect studying buildings and constructing hospitals before taking the biggest leap of faith of my life, which was setting up a food styling and food photography business right from scratch. If you're a dreamer like me, wanting to start a new photography business or grow your existing food photography business, jump right into a world where I share practical, actionable strategies to improve your photography skills, to work with clients, make more money, or with a fearless mindset. This is the My Food Lens podcast, and we take you one step closer to your dreams. So let's go. How many times have you heard that light is everything in food photography? In fact, how many times have you heard me say that we don't need great composition in our food photos, but we always need great lighting in our food photos? There is so much fuss about light in food photography because it is worth the fuss. I mean, it is light that brings out the texture of food, which is an absolute essential in creating drool-worthy food photos. I mean, that's the reason why we take food photos in the first place, to make someone drool, right? But light also creates mood, and mood transports a viewer into a frame, which is the power of a powerful photo. So anyway, you don't need me to sit here and tell you all about why there is so much fuss about light and the crazy emphasis and the crazy importance of light in food photography. You already know that it is a non-negotiable in the work that we create. Now, whether it's natural light, whether it's artificial light, whether we work with soft light or harsh light, once we have a solid grip on technique, it applies to anything and everything that we create. You know that as well, right? So, what are some of the key considerations really that can skyrocket the way we work with light? That's what we're going to talk about today. In fact, how can we double the power of our photos by working with light in a very, very intentional way? That's what we're going to talk about today also. All right, so you know, it's one thing to look at the direction of light and to create something balanced. So you set up your composition and you've set up your direction of light and you take a photo and it looks great. But today, that's not what we are talking about. We are not talking about lighting 101 today. We are really, really getting into that intermediate and advanced way of thinking about light. All right. So this is going to be a little bit more than maybe what you have heard so far, or maybe you're already doing this, so that's a yay, yay. All right, so come, imagine this with me. Let's imagine that you are ready to take a photo, okay? Once you have your composition set up, you know which direction of light you're using, you know what mood you are creating, all right? And you then begin to get granular with what you are creating, okay? That's when this next step of lighting 101 comes into play. So let's talk about what are these tips that I want to share with you today. The number one game changer for me, which is the next level of that lighting 101, is creating shadows and highlights in the right places. Now you might say, huh, DJ, I already do that. You know, what are we talking? What's new here? Well, then I will say, think carefully. Do you really create shadows and highlights in the right places? I mean, how do you decide where your shadows should fall? And how do you decide where your highlights should fall? All right. So we are going to talk about this a little bit in detail right now. It's not about creating shadows and highlights. What we are really talking about right now is creating shadows and highlights in the right places. Now that is next level. So where we create the shadows and highlights is actually based on our hero subject, the main food that we are shooting, and the composition. Okay, so again, let's imagine this together. Let's say you are shooting a vanilla cupcake. Imagine a vanilla cupcake. It has buttercream frosting on top, and it has a raspberry on top as garnish. Okay, so when you have that sort of a cupcake, how do you decide where the shadows and highlights should be or where you want them to be? Okay, now remember that both shadows and highlights, they bring out the texture of food. And if we don't have shadows, our food looks flat. It looks unappetizing because a lot of the deliciousness is conveyed through texture, right? And again, if we don't have enough highlights, then you've kind of like lost this opportunity to bring out any shine, any gloss, anything that makes you do slurp, right? So, you know, that drool-worthy factor, highlights play a very, very important role in that. So again, going back to the cupcake, clear your drool if you're drooling like me. I want a cupcake right now. Do you? Okay. So let's go back to our cupcake composition. Now, when light falls on that cupcake, what do we want? What do we want the light to do to make that cupcake really, really become next level cupcake photo, right? When the light falls on it, we want the light to show the rounded side of the cupcake and the buttery texture of the cake. We want the light to hit that buttercream in a way that the edges of the buttercream, they have highlights, all right? So they're just glowing. But also there is enough shadows inside the buttercream layers. Imagine a swirl, all right? Imagine a swirl and there are shadows that are falling. So you can really see that soft swirl of the cream. It's the texture. Now imagine if there are no shadows. What will happen? The cream will just look flat white, right? That's not what we want. Now let's think about the berry. What do we want on the berry? Same thing. We want amazing highlights. We want spectacular highlights on the berry because you know what? Fruits like blackberries, fruits like a pomegranate, like raspberries, like strawberries, they have this very beautiful seeded texture, all right? And what happens is that this texture is actually, it traps light between the little sections of the skin and the seeds. So when light falls on such subjects, it creates both highlights and shadows alongside with it because it has these little interruptions of the seed, all right? And so it makes the photo look really dynamic and it makes it look like truly eye-catching 3D. So again, without getting confused, all I need you to take away from this is that every food has a certain texture and we want to showcase that. You know, every food has that side that looks best with some highlights on it. And it has another side that looks best with a little shadow to it to showcase the texture. So whether it's a vanilla cupcake or it's a curry or it's a bowl of fruits or it is a smoothie, think about texture and think about what is that side that we want to play around with, all right? Every time you put food out to shoot, just take a minute. Just take a minute to observe where the light should be hitting to make it look like $1 million. Like I said before, this is not lighting 101. This is where you are in complete control and you take lighting decisions very, very intentionally. It's all about the details. It's all about, you know, really, really manipulating the light to create the shadows and highlights that take your photo to the next level. So when you place your food in the composition, just stop and pause for a minute. Be extremely intentional about what you want to create from that light. Where is the highlight you're looking for? Where is the shadow? And then work around that. Move your light or move your composition if you're working with natural light. And don't just allow the highlights and the shadows to just fall naturally. But that's not what we are looking for. We are creators and we don't just create, you know, a composition, we also create our light and we want our light to do exactly what we want from it. All right. So we are looking to create those shadows and highlights exactly where we want them to occur. So this should be an absolute first step for you to take your lighting to the next level. The second tip, which is actually quite correlated to this one, it's correlated to the highlights and shadow, is to bring tonal contrast to your photos. Now, contrast is conveyed in a photo in different ways, all right? So it can be either through light or through color. So color contrast is one thing, and I'm sure you've heard this term, color contrast, right? But what I'm talking about right now is the light contrast or the lighting contrast, which is also called tonal contrast. And I'm sure that you have seen that in Lightroom, you know, the editing application, Lightroom. So let's talk about tonal contrast. In fact, before that, tell me, what is contrast? So in a very simple way, how can we define contrast? For me, the difference between two things is contrast. So the difference in two colors or more colors is color contrast. Super duper straightforward. So what is tonal contrast? Tonal contrast is the separation of tones. It's the difference between tones. And what are tones? Tones in light are your shadows, your blacks, your highlights, and whites. Okay, now, if you're doing anything else, I really need you to give me your full attention because we're going to get a little bit more granular about this. I'm going to talk about something that's a bit more technical, and having your full attention would be most appreciated so that you can get the most out of this. All right, so we are going to talk about the histogram. Why am I bringing up the histogram? Because I just mentioned shadows, blacks, highlights, and whites. So when you look at the histogram of a photo, you can look at a histogram even in Lightroom while you're editing or any of your editing applications. The histogram is always there. You can also look at the histogram of a photo in your camera. It's part of the display, all right? So when you look at a histogram, you'll see there are darks and shadows on the left of the graph. And you'll see whites and highlights, which are towards the right of the graph. Now, what does tonal contrast mean? Like creating tonal contrast is actually means that you have enough separation between your blacks and your whites in a photo. There is clear distinction and there is enough of both of them in a photo, all right? So stay with me. We're going to get this very, very clear. So just for a moment, imagine one more thing with me, okay? Just for a moment, let's do this together. All right, so imagine you have a ball of Play-Doh in your hands. So you have a round ball of Play-Doh, and what you do is you start rolling it out to make it a little long, you know, somewhat like a hot dog, okay? So it's long. Now what do you have? You have like a little log of Play-Doh, and what do? You take the two ends of the log, and you start pulling them apart. When you pull the two sides, what happens? The center part begins to get thin, right? And the two ends begin to get fatter, and it almost starts looking like a suspended bridge, right? Imagine a suspended bridge, which is higher on the ends and lower in the center, somewhat like a U shape, somewhat like a U shape. So are you with me? So imagine that stretching, that act of stretching something out onto the two sides and having that kind of a U shape develop. Are you with me? That separation, my friend, that separation is what tonal contrast means, all right? So the left of the Play-Doh are your darks and your shadows, and the right of your Play-Doh is your whites and your highlights. And when you pull them to each side, you know, their separate left side and right side, you create a separation in the center, which means you're adding more shadows to your photos, which means you're adding more blacks and shadows to your photos, which means you're making the left side a bit heavier. And then you're also adding more highlights and whites to your photo, which means you are making your right side heavier. And as this stretches out, the ends become bigger and the center gets thinner, all right? So it kind of resembles the shape of a bridge. So for this, you really need to visualize it. If you're very familiar with how histograms look, then I'm sure you're with me right now. But in case you're not, just open your editing application and you'll have the histogram appear on it. And just try to increase the tonal contrast slider in Lightroom or something. And then watch. How the histogram changes. That's exactly what happens when you play with tonal contrast. You are creating the separation between the tones, all right? Having a certain level of tonal contrast in your photos makes it way more impactful. This is next level stuff, all right? It basically enhances the colors, it enhances the textures, and the lighting looks very, very pro. But to create this tonal contrast again, we really need to pay attention to where our shadows are falling and how much are the shadows, and where our highlights are falling and how much are our highlights, taking us back to point number one, which is being very intentional about our darks and brights in a photo. Because imagine that you begin to create this tonal contrast in your photo, but your shadows are not quite where they should be and your highlights are not really, then imagine, what's the impact of the tonal contrast? Not what you'd want, or not next level. It would be quite the ordinary or 101 level. That's not what we want. But also, since we are talking about tonal contrast, I really need to highlight that every photo is different. We really need to keep that in mind. You know, not every photo can have or will have high tonal contrast. It really depends on the mood that you're creating and the colors. You also have to be very mindful of the colors. So just like histogram, right? The histogram, it varies for each photo. The tonal contrast for each photo will also be different, all right? So sometimes if you're only shooting with blacks, or maybe you have a totally white or a monochrome composition, or you have very soft shadows, then they can have low tonal contrast. What I mean is that it's not a one-size-fits-all solution. And many times, high tonal contrast can make a photo look a bit fake. We have to be careful about that as well. It can make food, if you add too much tonal contrast to your food, it can also make your food look very dry. It can make it look like it has way too much texture. And again, it looks artificial or over-edited. That's also a thing. And so we must be very careful about how much tonal contrast really looks realistic in our photos. And it's really enhancing versus making our photo look fake, okay? So the purpose is actually to just make you aware that there is immense power in creating tonal contrast in your photos, in case you have not been thinking about it when you've been working with light. So the power of shadows and highlights and how to even make a simple cupcake pop with it is just it's just crazy good. And similarly, once we have the shadows and highlights in place, applying high tonal contrast or playing around with the tonal contrast in a photo can also be like a real, real game changer. So make sure that, you pay attention to it. The shadow and highlights are applied during the photo shoot, while you are in the photography stage. And the tonal contrast is a lot also during the editing phase. So you kind of have to keep that in mind as well while you shoot, that when I add the tonal contrast, how is this going to look? Or when I'm shooting, how much more tonal contrast can I add to this photo just in the way I create this light? All right. Now, this is not an easy topic. It's not something that is like, oh, yeah, I got this. Oh, so easy. Or, this is like, piece of cake. It's not. It's a tad bit complicated. And if this is something that you have not been practicing, or this has not been part of your workflow, or something that you've not really spent too much time thinking about, then it can be overwhelming, or it can be, new information. So I would say that if you intend to apply this in your photography, take it slow. Be very intentional. Don't be frustrated if things are not working out. You know how things are in our creative world, right? It takes a few rounds and a lot of practice to be able to get the hang of it. So if the shadows and highlights are not exactly where you want them to be, don't worry. Don't worry. Manipulate the light a little bit more. Study it a little bit more. Maybe next time it'll be a bit different, all right? And then don't get frustrated if you really can't understand or see the tonal contrast. It will come together with time, all right? And you know that I'm always there. If you have any questions, you should not hesitate in reaching out to me. So there you go. Two game-changing tips. Number one, create shadows and highlights in the photo based on the food that you are shooting. And then two, create enough tonal contrast between them to double the power of what you create, all right? It just takes like a little bit more observation of the nature of your food. It takes a little bit more intentional manipulation of light so that it's created where you want and how you want them. It's very, very specific. I mean, only when we are in complete control of what we create can we create something next level, right? So lighting is not really complex, but it just needs us to know what we want, right? Like every food actually has a different opportunity to catch light. And as food photographers, we need to find that opportunity and we need to use that opportunity to create drop-dead delicious and beautiful food photos. All right? Okay, so if you found this episode helpful, head straight and rate it on the platform you are listening on. And if you have any questions, please send me an email on hello@myfoodlens.com or come DM me on Instagram @Dithima_myfoodlens. I'll see you next week with another episode. Until then, bye-bye.